We're continuing with our study of the I Ams of Jesus. There was quite a few of them. This morning, our text will be out of John 6, and the focus will be on verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. I ask that you take the truth of this text into our hearts. Give us understanding. Lord, help us to realize that you are our life. I thank you for your willingness to suffer on that cross that we might be reconciled to God. For this was his will, Lord. I ask a blessing on all who are here and those who couldn't be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had just fed a large crowd with a sack lunch. There were 5,000 men, and many scholars estimate there could have been as many as 15,000 or more. The scriptures simply say it was a large crowd. And after the people saw the miracle, they said, "Surely this is the prophet." And they were referring to Deuteronomy when Moses told them, "The Lord will raise up a prophet like me." And he said, "Whoever doesn't listen to him, God will require it of him." Because God said, "He'll only speak my words." And they were on the right track. Jesus is the prophet. But the mistake that many of them made was they thought the prophet and the Messiah were going to be two different people. We talked the first message about Jesus revealing himself as the Messiah, the anointed, and a lot of people didn't take that too well. He didn't come the way they thought he should. He didn't say what they thought he should. He didn't have a political objective that they had, so it wasn't received well. And in today's text, we find out that people followed Jesus for a lot of different reasons. John records that after he did the miracle and they said, "This is the prophet," Jesus perceived they intended to come and by force make him king. So he went up into the hills by himself, and the disciples went down to the seashore to wait for him. And when darkness was coming, Jesus hadn't come to them, so they decided to get in the boat and head for Capernaum. That was one of the main central places that Jesus taught from. They had the biggest synagogue, the most elaborate synagogue in Judea, and Jesus used that as a headquarters at times. And that's the story we've all heard, that they got about halfway across the sea, and a windstorm came up, and they couldn't go any further. It said the wind was against them. They'd rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, and they looked up and saw Jesus coming on the water, and it terrified them. And the Lord said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And the scriptures say when they received him into the boat, they were immediately at the other side. Now, to my understanding, the Sea of Galilee's about 7 miles wide at the widest point. So immediately, that's quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know, they were still about 3 miles from the other shore, but as soon as the Lord set foot in the boat, they were at the other shore. So his disciples had quite a day. They saw the Lord feed all those people with that food. He had asked Philip, "Where are we going to get food?" And Philip said, "200 days' wages wouldn't be enough to give them each a little bit." And there was a young man there had a sack lunch, and he gave it to the Lord. There's a good lesson in that for us. Even a little is a lot with God. You know, sometimes we think, "Well, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have much to offer to God." God can take a little and make a lot. You know, we need to be available. Well, the people the next day realized Jesus wasn't on the shore. He wasn't on their side of the lake. And there were some boats there, so they got in and went looking for him. And when they found him on the other side, they said, "How did you get here?" And Jesus said to them, you know, you're not looking for me because you saw the signs, but because you got your bellies filled. That's the Greek according to Rick Johnson. You got a full belly. And he said, don't work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that'll bring you everlasting life. And they said something to me that's pretty ignorant. Every time I read it, I think, how could they ask such a thing? They said, what sign are you going to show us? What sign did he need to show them? He had fed a large crowd with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. And they say, what sign are you going to show us? I've had people over the years I've talked to would say, if God would just do this in my life, then I would follow him. No, you won't. If God would do this in your life, then you'd want something else done in your life and something else done in your life. God's not as worried about our material needs. And I don't mean that he's not concerned, because the Lord said that he knows what we need. But the people's mind was on physical things. And they said, what sign are you going to do? As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. They were quoting from Psalm 78. And Jesus corrected them and said, Moses didn't give you that bread. The New Living Translation says that the people said Moses gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus said, no, Moses didn't give you the bread. And this is where we come into the text today. Jesus said, I'm the bread. Well, they were a little disappointed, to say the least. And Jesus told them, I'm the living bread. He said, your fathers ate the manna and they died. I'm the bread, the living bread, that if you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. Well, then it seems that they had a problem with that statement, and the people thought that he was talking about cannibalism. He went on to say, I'm the living bread, and if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have life. And they backed up and went, ew, how can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Went right over their heads. Jesus was talking about spiritual matters. Their minds were set on the physical. We want more bread. We want to be blessed. We want material things. That's why I hate the prosperity gospel. That's why I encourage Christians that watch these TV ministries, pay attention to what they're saying. They don't have to come right out and be blasphemous. But anytime somebody tells you that God wants you to have money in the bank, God wants you to have all these things, kind of take a step back and think about it. I had a friend of mine told me once he believed in it, and he said, God doesn't get any glory when you're poor. That doesn't give glory to God. And I said, well, the Apostle Paul said that God chose the poor in this world to be rich in faith. What would you rather have? I'd rather be rich in faith than rich in material things. Now, does it mean I don't want things? Of course not. And God understands we need to eat and drink. Jesus said that. He said he feeds the birds. He'll feed you. Might not be T-bone steak 3 days a week, but you're going to eat. And these people's mind was set on the meal. We want more bread. In Psalms, Asaph said, God rained bread down from heaven. And men ate the food of angels. And that's what they were asking Jesus. They said, well, why don't you do that? And Jesus said, that's not what I'm here for. He was trying to teach them a spiritual truth. And they weren't getting it. They had their mind set on other things. And they really didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. Keith Green was a Jewish Christian who wrote a lot of songs. He was killed in 1982 in a plane crash. But he wrote a song called The Devil's Brag, or The Devil's Boast. And in the song, there's a line where the devil says, hey man, you ain't no sinner. You got the truth within. And as your life goes by, you'll believe the lie that you'll get it on your own. But don't worry, I'll be there to help you share our dark eternal home. I thought that was a good song. Jesus was talking to these people about the sin problem. They didn't want to hear that. If you remember, when he spoke to the woman at the well at Samaria, he told her very plainly, I am the Messiah. And she went into town to tell the townspeople, I think I found the Christ. And his disciples had went into the village to buy food. Jesus was tired and was sitting at the well. That's how he got into this conversation with her. And it said they urged him to eat something. They came back with the food and said, Lord, you need to eat. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And they said, did somebody else bring him something to eat? Jesus didn't eat with them at that moment. He said, I've got other food to eat. My food is to do the will of God. When he told them that he was the living bread that came down from heaven, they didn't grasp it. As I said, they thought he was speaking about cannibalism. They said, how can this guy give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? And Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, some churches have taken that and made a doctrine out of it with the communion. You know, we pray over the bread and it literally becomes the body of Jesus. We pray over the wine and it literally becomes the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ was only crucified once. You can't crucify him over and over again. What did Jesus mean? The scriptures say that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That he made peace with God through the blood that he shed on the cross. This is what Jesus was talking about to them. You remember the prophet Isaiah said to the people of Israel, and it applies to all men and women, my arm isn't too short to save you. It's your sins that separate you from me. There was a sin problem. And God sent his son into the world to take care of that sin problem. He was the only one that could do it. When Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll abide in me. They still, it just kept going right over their head and they were focused on a physical thing and they said, well, we can't do that. But that's not what he meant. The key to what he said is found a little further in this text. He said, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, then those who eat this bread will live because of me. Jesus testified to the crowd, I get my life from the Father. I live because of the Father, and you're going to live because of me. Do you know that the teachers teach, the scriptures teach, I'll get it in a minute, that we're walking dead before we come to Christ? We're dead to God. The scriptures say that the things of God are foolishness to us. We can't accept them. We won't accept them. Jesus said, don't marvel at this. He was talking with Pharisees one day. The time is coming when all the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He was speaking of a spiritual resurrection because we're all dead. We're dead to God. Unless we're born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The Greek says, unless you're born from above, you cannot enter heaven. The Bible says that whoever believed in him, he gave the power or the right to become the children of God. Not everybody's a child of God. I've heard that for a long time. Well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's children of God and children of the devil. You're either one or the other. I didn't say that. Don't glare at me. The Lord said that, not me. We're studying cults, and some of the cults are teaching that we're all God's children, and we're also gods, and we got to work our way up through three levels of heaven, and one day if we make it to the final level, we can be exalted to godhood. Well, all you got to do is go back to Genesis 3, and you'll find that lie. God knows that the day you eat of this, you'll be just like God. I don't want to be a God. I don't think I'd make a good God. I got too bad of a temper. I wouldn't have very many followers left, probably, especially if I was having a bad day. These people were focused on the physical. They wanted more bread. Jesus was trying to focus on the spiritual and saying, this is why I'm here. Those who feed on me, they abide in me. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That bread that we eat represents his body. The juice we drink represents his blood. Greg did a good job this morning talking about how we need to focus on that. We shouldn't be whispering and talking and, you know, treating it lightly. I read in the early church that if you didn't show up for a couple services and take communion, the deacons and the elders were coming to your house saying, what's your problem? How come you don't want to partake in this? They were under very intense persecution. That's why they took it every Sunday. They wanted to remember that the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered for us to encourage them to endure the suffering they were going through. First time I got a hold of this truth, it blew me away. Because I'll admit, you know, the first few times I read that, I struggled with that. And I said, what do you mean, eat your flesh and drink your blood? And then that scripture jumped out at me. And Jesus said, just as I live because of the Father, you'll live because of me. I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what life was until I met Jesus. Then I realized I didn't know anything. Jesus Christ came here to deliver us from sin. He came to deliver us from the penalties, from the curse of the law. That's life. That's the abundant life that he's promised. He said, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will live because of me. I've told you, you know, I was in martial arts when I was younger and I didn't have a lot of sense and used to get my head kicked in a lot. And my sensei, we call him, that means master. My sensei told me, in order to be good in martial arts, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe martial arts. Well, I didn't have that kind of focus. And he kept telling me, you need to get this kind of focus. You got to sleep, eat, and breathe martial arts. Well, it wasn't that big of a deal to me. I like getting in there and mixing it up, you know, seeing if I could kick somebody in the face. I told one person that I had about 35 fights and 19 consecutive knockouts, and she went, wow. And I said, I had to quit, though, because that getting knocked out's a drag. So, you know, don't get excited if I say, well, I was in martial arts, because I wasn't that good. They had these cool animal totems, the tiger, the monkey, the bear. Mine was the chicken. Yeah, that was my totem. I heard a story once of a famous rabbi. I can't tell you who it was, but it's supposed to be a true story, that lived in Judea, and he was considered a very wise man, and people wanted to follow him. And one day, a young man, he passed through the town, and a young man fell in behind him, and he started shouting after him, Rabbi, I want to know the truth. I want to know what you know. And the rabbi didn't answer him. He just kept walking. Well, the young man just persisted in following him, saying, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And the rabbi wouldn't even acknowledge him. He came to a river, and he was wading across, and the young man followed him out into the river. And he said, Rabbi, I want to know the truth. And so the rabbi turned around and looked at him and said, you really want to know the truth? He said, yes. And he grabbed him by the head and he shoved him underwater. And he held him there while the guy kicked and sputtered. And he raised him back up and he said, do you want to know the truth? He said, yes. And he shoved him back under again. He did that three times. The third time, they said, when he pulled the guy up, he was just about choked. He was spitting and sputtering and coughing and trying to get air. And the rabbi said, do you want to know the truth as much as you want to breathe right now? And the young man said, yes. And he said, then follow me. Jesus is our life. It's so easy to get our eyes on other things, like that friend I told you about. God wants to bless you materially. That's not the book I'm reading. Does God bless people? Yes, he does. I don't have a problem with that. But if somebody comes to me preaching a gospel that says it's all about you, God's going to do this and give you this and you're going to have all these blessings, I have to take a step back, because that's not the gospel I've read. The people in Jesus' day, the majority of them didn't understand what he was saying. They had a problem with it. And the sad thing is, it said most of his disciples said, we can't accept this, and they walked away. These people, Jesus had more than 12. We very often talk about the apostles and call them the disciples, and they were disciples, but they were appointed to be apostles. But Jesus at time had thousands of people following him. As I said, they estimate there was maybe 15,000 or more that he had fed, and a lot of them came across the sea, and they wanted to follow him. But it said when he said that, they said, I can't accept this, and they walked away. Now you talk about a church split. They went from a couple thousand to 12. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to go away too? He didn't run after those people. He didn't say, wait a minute, you didn't understand me. That's not really what I meant. Please don't get offended at what I said. Let me try to explain it better. He explained it perfectly. He said, if you want to live, I'm your source of life. There's no other name given in heaven whereby we can be saved. No works. You can't be good enough. You can't obey the law enough. You can't keep the Ten Commandments well enough. If you think, yeah, I can keep 9 out of 10, I'm going to enter into heaven. The Bible says by the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one means no one. God loved the world and he gave his only son. And if you try to come to him through any other way than through Jesus Christ, that is an offense to God. That grieves him. It grieves the Spirit. You might as well spit in his face. Jesus looked at his 12 and said, are you going to go away? And Peter, the spokesman, he said, where are we going to go? We believe you're the Holy One of Israel, and that you have the words of eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is your life? Yeah, I hope so. I believe he's mine. Do I still struggle? Every day. I've been a Christian for 40 years, and there's rarely a day goes by that I don't struggle with one thing or another. You have to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Remember what he suffered for you. Don't complain if you have to suffer for him. Jesus said, I am your life. I'm the bread that God sent down so you could live. Would you stand with me this morning? Salvation is a very personal thing. The scriptures say whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you have to call on him. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. You cannot be saved till you realize you need a Savior. These people thought they were okay with God. They had the covenant of circumcision. They had the law. They thought they were righteous and okay. They couldn't understand why Jesus was talking about saving them. They thought they were saved. Every individual has to reach a point, and you don't have to be an axe murderer to do it. I don't care if your biggest sin was kicking the cat. You need a Savior. Every one of us. And until you reach that point in your life, you are not saved. I'll just put it that way. I don't care if you go to church every Sunday, if you come to Bible study every Wednesday night, if you read the scriptures every day. That doesn't make you saved. What saves you is calling out on the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for you. And he's been raised again from the dead. And now he makes intercession for you. He prays for you. He wants to strengthen you. God wants to mold us into the image of his son. But that takes a submission on our part. Molding is not pleasant. It can be painful. When God begins to tear and strip away things in our lives that he doesn't want there. And if we're not careful, we can be like these people and get our eyes on other things and say, yeah, but God. Jesus said, I am your life.